Living Theology Friends, January the 30th, 2011. This is the fourth installment of a series of articles on the church. We looked at the concept of the church, the lifelong race in which all Christians participate, and the oneness of the body of Christ. Now consider how Christians interact with each other. People are saved to a new life characterized by the practice of righteousness and love, and such cannot be practiced in a vacuum. So the Bible clearly gives us guidelines for interactions with fellow Christians. There are many such commands, but I want to start with one set that has been misapplied many times. It involves the final judgment of Christ that Matthew gives us in Matthew 25:31-46. In these verses, Jesus says that all the nations of the world will be gathered before him. He then separates them from one another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. In the following verses, he then tells the people why some have been put on his right side, which is, of course, the favorable side. Verses 34 to 40 are particularly applicable for what I want to say here. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me." Then the righteous will answer him, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you?" And the king will answer and say to them, "Truly I say to you, to the extent that you did it to one of these brothers of mine, even the least of them, you did it to me." Some people have used these verses as a justification for a social gospel, meaning an outreach to the entire world to meet physical needs of poverty, oppression, and disaster, regardless of the status of the recipients before the Lord Jesus Christ, and sometimes without presenting the gospel message at all. However, read carefully verse 40, and you'll see that the people who are approved by Jesus and their revealed actions worthy of inheriting the kingdom of God, these brothers of mine. James and John address needs of fellow Christians much as did Jesus. James 2:15-16, "If a brother or sister is without clothing and in need of daily food, and one of you says to them, 'Go in peace, be warmed, and be filled,' and yet you do not give them what is necessary for their body, what use is that?" And 1 John 3:17, "But whoever has the world's goods and behold his brother in need and closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him?" We're also commanded to love our neighbor as ourselves, Matthew 23:39, and even our enemies, Matthew 5:44, but such is not included in these verses. Who are brothers of Jesus and thus brothers of fellow Christians? The governor of Alabama was heavily criticized recently for saying that only Christians were his brothers and sisters. He apologized, but I don't think he should have done so because he was correct, even though it was not a politically correct statement. Jesus defined who are his brothers, Luke 8:21, but he answered and said to them, "My mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it." Matthew 12:50, "For whoever does the will of my Father who is in heaven, he is my brother and sister and mother." When Jesus says that he is my brother and sister and mother, he means that those people are adopted in the family of God, Romans 8:15 and John 1:12, and through his blood related to him. One has to interpret scripture carefully in context, but most of the time when the Bible speaks to someone as brother, the reference is to a person for whom Jesus Christ is Lord. As you know from the first letter of the series, the invisible church is the body of Christ and consists of people who are then fellow members of the family of God. People can pretend to be a Christian and be members of a visible church, but our attitude toward them is also addressed, 1 Corinthians 5:11. "But actually I wrote to you not to associate with any so-called brother if he should be an immoral person or covetous or an idolater or a reviler or a drunkard or a swindler, not even to eat with such a one." A person who possesses faith that is a gift of God will act in accordance to that faith. Otherwise, the faith the person professes is actually a false faith, as made clear by James. The verses of Matthew 25 are not a command for a social gospel, but for people who are truly Christians to act toward other Christians. To fellow Christians, we're to feed when they need food, give liquid when they are thirsty, invite those who do not know into our homes, clothe those who need clothes, visit the sick, and visit those in prisons. The people in prison in this context are primarily those in prison for their belief in Jesus. A prison ministry to non-Christians can be a wonderful evangelistic outreach, but such is not covered by this verse. Jesus said that as we do to fellow Christians, we also do to him. Of course, this list is not complete, but representative of how Christians are to treat other Christians. Basically, we help them meet their daily needs and practice hospitality toward them. Similarly, when we act against Christians, we're acting against Jesus Christ, as was revealed to Paul, Acts 9, 4-5. And he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And Paul said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And he said, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting." Jesus also told the fate of those who do not serve him and sin by omission in Matthew 25:44. Then they themselves also will answer, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not take care of you?" Then he will answer them, saying, "Truly I say to you, and to the extent that you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me." And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. It's important to note that Jesus is not teaching a works-based righteousness, but similar to James, he is identifying good works done by those who truly worship him through faith. Let all of us be aware of Christians in need, and if you are a Christian in need, do not be ashamed to let fellow Christians know your needs. Praise God. Bless each of you this week.